What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, March 27th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the OK Beast Blessing, Eddie Oye Jr.
What's up, Greg?
I just got my hot dog head in Animal Crossing. So that's what I was. I made Kevin wait to start the show so I could put up the tweet saying, hey, I got my hot dog head in Animal Crossing. Because no, you watched, of course.
Wait, that's why I had to wait? When I was
that like, is 100%. If you go to my Twitter right now, go to the Twitter right now. You can show it, Kevin. You can toss it up there because it's posted. Yesterday, of course, on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, we did an Animal Crossing Cribs edition, at which point I bought a hot dog costume that was on sale. Liked it, Blessing. I put it on, of course. But then it was this thing of, well, I look like I'm just wearing a hot dog bodysuit. This isn't really a full-blown costume. And then today, to my surprise, I walk into the Able Sister store. What's staring back at me? Hot dog head. You know what I mean? Put it out. There it is. Look at that, everybody.
Oh, my God.
Dreams come alive. Man,
you look dumb. Dreams do.
No, I don't. I look awesome, Kevin.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was wrong. Yeah,
you finally admit it.
I didn't think about it that way. It looks like, just so you know, now that I'm being honest, it looks like you're wearing like nothing but the middle part. And it's gross. this is gross. Just so you know.
I don't mind.
This might be a dumb question, but is the hot dog like a Portillo thing? Is that like a Portillo reference or Portillo's reference?
That was a dumb question, Blessing.
I mean, I don't fully understand. Are you asking if in Animal Crossing the hot dog suit is a reference to Portillo's or if the fact that
you're wearing the hot dog suit, is that like a, oh yeah, I love Portillo, I'm going to wear this represent Portillo kind of thing? I mean, or is this just like, I want the hot dog outfit?
Well, you know, Portillo, my dog, is named after the restaurant Portillo's, the hot dog restaurant, right? Okay, cool. So, yeah, I mean, like, I think just that that's just all ingrained in me, right? Like, I feel like the hot dog restaurant, you know, outfit kind of, you know, it's a good weekend outfit for me.
I just didn't know if this was like a separate passion of like, I like hot dogs even separate from Portillo and Portillo's, and I'm just going to wear a hot dog outfit just because, that kind of thing.
Hold on one second, because I got to look at something here, too.
Oh.
Because, Kevin, you understand there's always breaking news here. There's always something happening, right?
Yeah, 100%. Hashtag team fat, right? Am I right, Greg?
Hold on.
Team fat?
You did me team fat there, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, hold on, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on.
I'm waiting.
All right, good. Thank you.
Nope, yep, we got it. Blessing, this is where you fill time.
Oh, yeah. Talk about your feelings. Time.
Well, it looks like your feelings? Arm is going into his screen, and it's turned pink.
Whoa.
See that?
I keep having to put my arm here because my mouse, like if I put my mouse here.
Just get a normal-sized desk. And then
even if I had a desk,
here's the thing, and then like, we turn your desk. No, we turn your desk so it's next to the window. You see what I'm talking about? So turn your face to the left. Turn your face to the left. Like that's where your desk would be. Does that fit?
Yeah, but then I'm like blocking the window. You don't want a desk.
Who gives a fuck? The window's closed. Do you open the windows?
No, but like.
Okay, see, I knew you didn't open the windows.
How do you know that?
Because I know. Right,
I was trying to call Alyssa, Barrett's Alyssa, and let her know that I had a hot dog helmet now in my store because she came to buy the hot dog costume yesterday. I felt like she should have the rest.
Oh, I guess schools are off.
So yeah, she's teaching right now, bless.
Sometimes I forget what's happening.
Hey, man.
Honestly, she might be teaching now. I'm not sure. I was going to say, are they doing online classes?
I don't know how schools
are. At what point for the little kids did the online classes start? Kindoffunny.com/wrong. Let us know. Because I think she teaches young kids, right? So they're always just eat and paste anyway, not out of their parents' problems. She doesn't have to worry about it.
All right.
Exactly.
I digress. Let's talk instead about next gen not being delayed, video games and how they're dealing with COVID in their own ways, and GameStop closing more stores, because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we come together to give you the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, with your questions, comments, concerns, everything under the video game sun, including your squad up requests. But more importantly, over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can give us a few bucks to say, hey, you're doing a good job, which would get you the show ad-free along with the exclusive post show each and every day. However, if you have no bucks to toss our way, it's no big deal. Head over to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch us record the show live and keep us honest. You have a job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. As I said, the Animal Crossing Kind of Funny Cribs edition is up on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go over there. You can see myself, Joey Noel, and Andy Cortez, our islands, our towns. We play hide and seek at one point, which goes on way too long. I did not think it would be that hard. Also, Bless, did you see this? Last night, of course, Kind of Funny best friend and Twitch streamer Snowbike Mike did a hide and seek thing where they bet on it. Did you see? He had his. I saw a screenshot. It was all his island-filled people. Everybody put out 3 bags of bells each, and then they all went and hid, and the winner got the pot.
I saw the picture.
Greg, I heard gambling's bad, though.
This isn't gambling. This is sporting. If you're good at it, you don't have to worry about it.
Sounds like gambling.
You know what? I mean, said gambling's good, so it doesn't matter.
It's real funny when like EA does it and everyone's mad at FIFA and whatnot, but Snowbike Mike does it.
But that's them gouging you. That's them taking. Snowbike Mike running his own casino and Animal Crossing is fine. We don't care.
Double standards here. That's all I'm saying. I'm going to back up now.
All right, you know what? I will 100% admit, Kevin, there are double standards for EA versus Snowbike Mike, all right? I'm not holding them
look,
in the same
all
regard.
All I'm saying is when Snowbike Mike's as big as EA, you better not fucking pull this shit
Plus,
again.
The bells are a virtual currency. You're not actually investing real money.
That's what FIFA people said, remember?
No, it wasn't. That wasn't 100... what they said, Kevin. That wasn't what they said.
Please don't get that close to the mic.
Yeah, exactly. I know how to hurt you now. You know what I mean? I know you're kryptonite.
One button, look. I can mute you.
Oh,
I'm just
we
kidding.
Can't
I wasn't
hear
talking.
No,
I was
no,
talking.
He wasn't talking. I can mute him.
I know you can. We're having a good time, everybody. It's a Friday. You know what I mean? Crack a fucking beer. Blessing. Oh, get him a beer. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's been beer inside this the whole time.
Oh, my God. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Mohammed, Momo, Drew, Gardner Fruities, Blackjack, and the kind of funny Destiny 2 PC clan. Today, we're brought to you by Quip and ExpressVPN, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 6 items on the Roper Report.
Baker's Dozen!
Let's start with the good news, Blessing. Next generation is not delayed. That's right. The PlayStation 5 and Xbox One are still coming this holiday, says Microsoft and Sony, independently in different articles. Let's start with Eddie at GameSpot, who has the Xbox report. Matt Booty from Xbox had a quote that they put up there in their article. So I'm pulling the quote, and then I'll give you some context from Eddie. Booty writes, "We know that gaming connects people during times of social distancing, and we are committed to delivering the highest quality Xbox Game Studio games for our global community of players. At the same time, the health and safety of our Xbox Game Studio development teams is our top priority. Each studio is facing unique challenges and constraints depending on its partner location, and many of our external development partners around the world are similarly affected. We are supporting our studio leaders to make the right decisions for their teams and individual games during this challenging time." So a lot of you reached out to me, of course, with this one, because yesterday during Games Daily, we got duped. And there was a concern, not even duped, I guess, because I said it with a grain of salt, but there was enough conversation in the chats, right, of, hey, what is actually happening with Halo Infinite? Because Halo had come out and been like, hey, you know, we're still working on it, right? There had been things here. And I'll get, this is Eddie's context in the same article. I'm obviously piecing it all together to give you this report. Eddie continues, "The statement comes in the wake of Halo Infinite developer 343 Industries acknowledging that the coronavirus situation may get worse before it gets better. Quote, we're removing all the obstacles in our path and tracking well, but need to be mindful of our current limitations and understand that the corona situation may get worse before it gets better," 343 said in a blog post. "Rest assured that every single one of us is doing everything in our power to continue developing and delivering quality Halo experiences while we adjust to this new way of life." A spokesperson for Microsoft tells GameSpot that Microsoft has never announced a release date for Halo Infinite, so there is no change to report on the game's launch timing. It remains on schedule to release in holiday 2020, the company reconfirmed to GameSpot. So that was the idea of what's happening with Halo, because there's all this confusion over there, right? And as Eddie points out in his article, that this is all in line with whatever Phil Spencer's been saying. Echoing Xbox Phil Spencer's previous statements, Booty said the health and safety of development teams at Microsoft's the top priority, and they continue on this way, right? So if Halo's coming in the holiday, Xbox Series X is still coming in the holiday, nothing's happening there. Everything's on track. Correct? Blessing.
Sure.
Do you believe it? Blessing.
Do I believe it?
Yeah.
We'll see. But I believe that they are confident in it.
Okay. While we get into that, I want to bring in what Sony's saying. This is Takashi Mochizuki over at Bloomberg. Sony Corp said fallout from the coronavirus may wipe out a previously projected increase in its profit and force it to delay an earnings report scheduled for April. The Japanese company said two factories in China are returning to normal operation, but continue to face component shortages, while facilities in Malaysia and UK will remain shut until middle of April because of government requests. Sony said it can dispatch employees to these locations to discuss assembly of new products. A Sony spokeswoman said it doesn't see any notable impact on the launch of its next generation game console, PlayStation 5, planned at the end of the year. So, again, blessing. We talked on PS I Love You XOXO this week at length about will the PlayStation 5 be delayed. We had a bunch of different articles, a bunch of different analysts, and it seemed like what we came down on, at least from my perspective on what I was saying, and I think you were with me, It doesn't look like you delay the PlayStation 5, but we might have to deal with limited supply of the PlayStation 5, correct?
Shortages. Yeah, and I'm with you there for the most part. I think we could possibly get to a place where they delay the consoles. And even these statements here, like, they give me confidence. They give me more confidence than I had, say, yesterday about the consoles coming out this fall. But I'm still not all the way there. I feel like we're still in a situation where we kind of have to wait and see. Like, even in the Sony article, I think sirens are our end.
Sirens are on. All right. I didn't know if you could hear them. Sorry, that's outside of my window. We can't escape it. There's always something core to kind of funny. It's being here in the police sirens.
But, you know, like them talking about how, like, where they're at in the process and their confidence in the consoles coming out. Like, I believe that they want the consoles to come out this fall.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that right now the chances are they will come out this fall. But like they said in the I believe it was the Sony article or the Sony statement that said things are going to get worse before they get better. Or maybe it was the Microsoft statement.
That was Microsoft. That was actually, so to be clear, that was actually 3-4-3.
Was that 3-4-3?
Yeah.
And that's like, I mean, that's just kind of the state of things is things are going to get worse before they get better. We kind of have to see how worse they get before we can make solid statements about whether or not about how much production is going to be affected by people not being able to work in factories, where the market's at by the fall, where software is at by the fall, how working from home or how long working from home is going to affect. Like, that's kind of what I would want to hear from 343. If 343 has to work from home for the next, let's say, 3 months or 4 months, how does that then affect their workflow?
Well, that's the whole thing about this and what we talked about on PS I Love You to give context to PlayStation 5, but now to expand it to Halo and then, of course, expand it to Xbox Series X, because, again, these are part and parcel, right? Again, from Eddie's article, 2020 is a crucial year for Microsoft and the Xbox brand, as the Xbox Series X is lined up to release this holiday with Halo Infinite as a launch title. Microsoft remains committed to launching the Xbox Series X this year. The company doubled down on that earlier in March. But what the impact of COVID-19 has on game development games, such as Halo Infinite, Grounded, and Everwild, among others, remains to be seen. That's the ball of wax here in what we were talking about earlier. It's not even that, and I compared it, I think, on the last conversation we had about this to how when I was guaranteeing Persona 5 was going to get delayed back in the day, and everybody kept pointing to the website and saying, the website says this year, and then eventually it got delayed, right? Because the website's a website. It's the same thing here, and I don't even think it's nefarious in any sense of the word. I don't think that this Sony spokeswoman, why do I keep saying woman? Woman, it's something about being able to hear myself that's very weird, saying there's no notable impact on the launch of its next generation console, PlayStation 5. I believe that they want to launch this. They want to launch the PlayStation 5. Xbox wants to launch the Xbox Series X. I do not think that them saying that on the 27th of March, 2020 means that when we get to December 31st, 2020, we're all going to be playing these consoles. Because, I mean, I was thinking about it this morning while I was making breakfast. I had to turn and look at the calendar. I'm just like, fuck, do you realize, what was it, 3 weeks ago I was in Canada? And, like, I was debating the Chicago trip that was going to be today. I was supposed to be in Chicago today for my mom's birthday and for what would have been SmackDown and all this different stuff. Like, that's how fast all of this flipped. So you can't, I mean, we're here working from our houses, right? Like, we can't sit here, and I'm sure 343 can't answer your question, right? You have this great question of, like, what is the impact of developing and working from home and working on a game from home going to be? And I'm sure the answer is we don't know. We don't think it will. If everything works flawlessly, it should be okay. But look at us in 2 weeks, all the stupid little hurdles we've discovered where you think something's going to be flawless and then no, it isn't.
We talked all about PlayStation because that's what we do on PSWXOXO and how maybe software could affect the launch. I think we both came down on, even if for this fall, Sony had Horizon Zero Dawn 2 and HouseSparks next game and Knack 3 all prepped for launch, and they all, like, even if all that software got delayed, we could still see the PS5 coming out and just just rolling with the punches. For Microsoft, if Halo Infinite gets delayed, I think they would have a much harder time launching the console, like wanting to even launch a new console, because the Xbox Series X at this point is so tied to Halo Infinite. Like, that is the first big launch title they announced for it. Halo historically has been tied to Xbox. Putting out a new Xbox console right now, with kind of where they've been at over the next generation, without that big title that they've advertised over the last couple of years for it, I think that could be a huge blow to them, and I don't think they'd want to do that.
Interesting, because you figure our conversation about PlayStation was, even if, and this is all hypothetical, Horizon 2 was supposed to be a Housemarque's game, was going to be these are going to be the launch titles, and now they're not going to be ready. What I had been saying, right, is that Sony would still launch this, because even with limited supply and less of a demand for the games or whatever, this is still, now you're pivoting, and it's like PlayStation 4 Pro of like, hey, it's backwards compatible, it loads things faster, play all your games, and here's what's coming in 2021, right? Mm-hmm. I think you drive this interesting point home of Microsoft, I still think, would do that. Because I think it's the same song and dance for the Xbox Series X. It runs your games better, backwards compatible, xCloud, all this amazing stuff ready to go. The problem there is that I don't think Xbox has the gusto, based on their current progress and momentum and library, to make that matter as much as the PlayStation 5 did.
Like,
Xbox
needs Halo. They don't necessarily have the juice right now. They've been filling the juice over the last few years, right?
You know, Xbox One, not a bad generation of console for them. It's just the PlayStation was such a runaway success.
Yeah, it had a bad start, but at this point, right, I wouldn't even say Xbox One is a bad console by any means. Like, they've really regained that ground.
Yeah.
But I, in a weird way, Sony being kind of quiet, or not even kind of quiet, Sony being dead quiet and being very cards to the chest as far as how they've talked about the PS5, specifically software, might actually come as a blessing in disguise for them, because, no pun intended, because they can move things around behind the scenes, right? We don't know about Horizon 2, we don't know about whatever sequels, we don't know about any about what most of their studios are working on for, we don't know what any other studios actually are working on for next gen, for sure, right? They don't have anything like
There's no like, here's what Naughty Dog's doing, here's what, you know, Polyphony's doing. I mean, you can jump to conclusions on some of those.
We can assume a lot of them, but they haven't had any of that stuff announced. And so they can move around the cards however they want, however they need to, in order to account for delays, in order to account for messaging, in order to account for marketing. Whereas Microsoft, they've announced Halo, and they've announced not a date, but they've said holiday 2020.
Right.
We know that game is supposed to come out day and date with the Xbox Series X. They've announced Hellblade, and they haven't even attached the year to Hellblade, so Hellblade's not really much of a concern, right?
But when they showed that at Game Awards, right, they did say, like, this is a very early look or whatever.
Yeah, they said it was a very early look. Forza Motorsport is probably going to come out, or probably going to be timed with the Xbox Series X. Like, the big one is Halo, though.
Yeah.
And if something happens to Halo, then yeah, I think that's big trouble for Series X.
So you're, and this is always so tough because we aren't business people at all, but you're in charge of this decision, and they come to you and they're like, hey, Halo will not be ready for the launch of the Xbox Series X. Do you still launch it, with the downside being that you could launch this thing and people are going to look at it and go, sure, it's more powerful, but I didn't play my Xbox One, so why would I get on board with this? Or do you wait and take the financial hit, right, and wait for Halo Infinite? And granted, what I've said before about this stands, that delaying it but not pushing it out of the fiscal year could still work. Where if you got it out in January, and just delayed it till January, early February, right? And then you actually had more consoles in production. Like, you could spin this pretty quick of like, hey, COVID has screwed stuff up. We don't have as many consoles as we want. Halo needs a little bit more time. We're pushing it to here. And theoretically, right, if you had less console stock that was going to be manufactured because of COVID, and then they were going to try to make more by the end of the fiscal year, you could still net out that, rather than have that amount of Xbox Series X's built up till the end of the fiscal year, you could push them all out on the same day kind of thing and still have that hype and still have that attention and still yeah. have people coming.
Like at that point, it kind of feels like a soft launch at first for the Series X. And then whenever yeah. Halo's ready, like let's say a month or two or three later,
sure.
then we do like the big push for the Xbox Series X and make this like the big marketing push. I could see that being the case. And I'm not necessarily of the mind that it's going to come down to that. Like really hardware and components and parts and labor and all that stuff is probably going to play more into the idea that Xbox Series X and PS5 can get delayed rather than purely work on the software. I'm not of the place yet where I feel confident that these consoles are going to come out this fall.
Well, I mean, I think we find out every day, right? That's something, yeah. anything can happen in like, our like, world, period.
I think it was E3 that was like, literally one day they were like, oh yeah, we're assessing the situation as it goes. And literally the next day, I think that was when LA called the state of emergency and E3 was like, or the ESA was like, we're listening to the ESA or to LA, we're trying to figure things out. And then the next week is canceled. Like these things move very quickly. And yeah. so we'll see in like, a month what the messaging is, 2 months what the messaging is. They're gonna have to continue talking about this stuff because they're gonna want to market it and advertise, and we're gonna get those reveal events, or yeah. maybe they push the reveal events depending on where things are at.
We have a question about that up next. Here's what I want you to do, Bless. All right, the yep. question is from the nanobiologist. I want you to read it because obviously I read it to put it in the doc, but like a bonehead, I forgot my coffee and water on the back table. So you read the question while I get my coffee and water.
All right. This question comes from the nanobiologist who wrote into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames just like you can and says, hi, Greg and Bless. Both Xbox and PlayStation said that the pandemic will not affect the Xbox Series X and the PS5 releases. So why haven't they come out with a date yet? Are they waiting for the other to announce something first to try and beat their date? Or do they not know and are using the vague, quote, holiday 2020 to never need to say they delayed the console when they could possibly be pushing it back to their projected date internally? We're not at the place, I think, in the process. Like, even if this is a traditional console release, say yeah. COVID's not an issue, say, like, we're not dealing with all these external problems, I still don't think we'd have the date yet. Like, I think it's not until... what would have been E3 or whatever PlayStation event would be before or around that time where we would finally get the date and the pre-orders and all that stuff kind of lifts for us to go through in order. And so I don't think that's a weird thing. I think there could be weirdness with it now once we get to that point, but once again,
I think what gets interesting about it, yeah, I don't think you should know the date yet now. That's just not traditionally how this would happen. And the way I understand it, of course, is waiting for E3 for the biggest, you know, pop you can get, but also yeah. the fact of trying to actually suss out how many you could manufacture, because it is something that isn't in production yet. So you are getting estimates and stuff. But that, now, again, I'm way out on a limb there. I'm not that part of the industry, so I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. For this one in particular, it's what we just talked about of literally anything can happen. Each and every day, the news gets crazier and crazier. So even now, I'm sure they're getting reports that everything's okay, but how much do they believe in that? You know what I mean? Like, how many fucking plans has Sony gone through? Where what I guarantee, whatever their plan was at January 1st, 2020 for how they're going to reveal the PlayStation 5 is not what it is now. It is not, you know what I mean? The world's different. They can't, I still believe they were going to do a big event, and they definitely can't now. But are they holding on hope that they might be able to? And depending on when they wanted to do it, like if they wanted to do it in May or June, right? You still have 2 full months. And what does that look like? And when does the world get back to normal? And there's so many questions right now. And there's so many different moving parts to every plan that I'm not surprised it's still holiday. I wouldn't be surprised if it slipped. I think they were waiting for their normal time frames to announce, but I think they're more in jeopardy than ever. Like even if they had their dates, if it was, we're doing it on November, whatever. I think they're waiting now.
Greg, historically, when would press get their hands on consoles for like demoing and stuff?
What do you mean, for preview events or for like in the office?
For like preview events, like for in 2013, was it E3 when press would get their hands for PS4, or was it later?
PS4, there was the reveal event right in February that we didn't send anybody to, we didn't send anybody to. We just watched the thing. I'm good, thanks. It's different new coffee, so I don't need it's a long story. Yeah, when did we first have the PlayStation 4 for preview events? Fuck. I think it started rolling out at like, it was just events and kindoffunny.com/you're on. Mm-hmm. I can't remember at that. Yeah, when they revealed that they didn't reveal the box, so it was E3, so it was at E3. Like E3, and when once the presentation happened, that's at E3 you went and played stuff or saw stuff.
That was the first time. That was the first time you guys like actually got your hands on the console.
Yeah, to my knowledge, yeah.
Which that wouldn't be able to happen this time around.
Yeah. Well, and that's why I think they were going to do a live event, because again, like we sit here and talk about like, oh well, yeah, like they have State of Play now, they want to go direct to consumers and press and everybody else. That's true, but like, that's not. You're never going to have that moment, right? Of like what you need those hands-on impressions. Here's what it felt like for me to hold the DualShock 5. Here's what I saw. Mm-hmm. Here's how I liked the especially for stuff like you're demoing haptic triggers, right? Like you want to be able to feel that and have a conversation about that.
Yeah. I wonder what that then does for something like Gamescom or like the events that are happening in August. Like if they happen in August, right? If Gamescom is the one I'm probably most worried about, that one's probably going to get canceled because of how big that is. But say somehow they push through and this passes by then and does not become a worry whatsoever and Gamescom happens, right? Is that then the event where people first get their hands on the PS5, Xbox Series X? Like how does that timeline shift? Does that timeline shift that then shift the console releases? Like there's so many factors at play here,
and that's why we're in such a brave new world of what any of this looks like. Nothing in, you know, I think, you know, even for Nano to write in and ask this question of like, you know, why aren't they saying anything, why are they being so vague? Like if this was a normal lineup, we wouldn't be asking that question. This would just be how it is. This is what they do. They're waiting for E3 or around their E3 time frame, right? And now it is that I'm sure that's what the original plan was, and now I think there's a lot of them waiting to see like, what the fuck are we doing? Like, what's going to happen? Yeah. Where are we going to be? How many can we produce? And think about it that way, too, of like, you know, we're so used to now being spoiled and having global launches, right? Like, this could easily be a staggered thing where, okay, cool, it's launching first in America. It's launching, for Xbox for sure. You know, maybe in for some PlayStation, I think it would be too, but, you know, maybe it is just in North America. It is just in Japan. Maybe there's a bunch of different ways they can slice this up that sounds crazy now in our unified world, but I remember those dates. I remember importing Vitas from Japan, right? Like, I remember how different that was. And when you go to Wikipedia and I talk about, like, when people are celebrating the PS2's birthday, I'm like, it's not October 26th. I'm like, oh right, you're talking about Japan. Yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. We'll have to see.
Yeah, that makes sense. I didn't think about that.
It could scary blessing. Anything can happen. Before we go on, I asked for your wrongs as a joke, but I got a lot of answers, and I want to read a couple of them. Boston Beer Dude says, my sister starts online schooling this week. She's in sixth grade in Boston, Massachusetts. Lou says, I have a first grader and a fourth grader. They're using Google Classroom while their teacher is indeed working. Psycho Step says, some schools have already started digital learning. Many here in Orange County are holding off for official word from the district. I have four teachers in my family, and none of them have gone digital yet. And then your boy, MC Fixer, writes in and says, my fiance Haley is teaching five-year-olds online, so she's probably teaching. Don't need to be read out loud. Too late. Sorry, MC. You put that at the front if you don't want to read out loud. Oh, no. But if you're going to write in and you're going to give me answers to the question I ask, I'm going to do it. Let's stay on this. How COVID is going to affect video games, a topic we haven't talked about at all. Number two on the Roper Report. This is going to go somewhere, so stick with me. Bungie loves Stadia in the time of COVID. Basically, over on IGN.com, Luke Riley has a piece up called Inside Bungie's Rapid Response to the U.S. COVID-19 Crisis. It was going to be a required reading, but there's an interesting thing I thought I'd pull out and toss up here on the heels of all this COVID talk. It's an interview with the COO of Bungie, Patrick O'Kelly. Lots of good stuff in there about what it's like to make a game in these times, how, you know, Bungie saw stuff happening ahead of time because of their relationship with NetEase. They kind of got way in front of like, this has definitely come here, and started working on a lot of pats in the back of their IT team that have been able to set up things to make it all work from home. However, there's this interesting quote from Patrick. Another thing I'll throw out is Google Stadia. It looks like that's going to be our test solution, says O'Kelly. Getting play tests at scale is a hard thing to do. A lot of bandwidth involved. So they've been collaborating with us to set, they've been collaborating with us to set that up. And it looks like it's going to be a really amazing solution for us. It's not something we necessarily thought about initially, but it looks like it's going to be a great way for us to keep getting regular play tests and do it pretty easily, end quote. Like I said, great article overall of, what is it like to make a video game right now? What is it like to be in the throes? I mean, especially for Destiny 2, an ongoing game, right? That there's always putting more content out. How do you take that home and make that work for a giant company like Bungie? But this actually doubles back to, I remember weeks ago now when all this started, someone wrote in asking, like, do you think Stadia and xCloud make this easier? And I think it was more for, do you think we can get demos, like what we were seeing at E3 or GDC?
Press demos.
Interesting here to see, like, oh, this now they're now working hand in hand with Google and getting, I guess, probably private servers or access or whatever to play test unreleased stuff's pretty awesome. Bless.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. And I know Imran's brought up the point of playtesting in this time from playtesting while working at home is a thing where in many cases might not be a thing you can do, because a lot of times, like, software has to stay in the office, whether it's because of new hardware, like say somebody's developing a PS5 game or somebody's developing an Xbox Series X game, Microsoft or Sony might not want employees to be able to take those things home. Or like even in the case of software that's like not announced yet, right? You don't want like a Ubisoft Subway situation where, I don't know, somebody's playtesting a thing on the train and somebody's screen.
Like, and this is a very, you know, specific example, but to talk about like the world you do live in now, right? Like when I had Animal Crossing, you know, 3 weeks earlier or whatever, I'm playing, and this is all confusing, I guess, for you, but these are giant floor to ceiling windows right here, right? And that's my TV there. So when I'd be playing it on it, I was like, if any of the apartments over here look over and like, is that the new Animal Crossing?
Yeah.
Because wait, that looks, and I mean, that's like such a one in a million thing that can happen. But like, to your point, look at fucking Tomb Raider getting spoiled because someone on the subway looked down like, that's a new Tomb Raider game. Click a photo. Like,
yeah,
it's not that out of the realm of possibility.
Yeah. And so having Stadia and game streaming as a solution to how do we play test things while at home, that's something I didn't think of. And that's something that actually seems like a really cool solution. And shout out to Bungie for figuring this out. Granted, Bungie and Destiny are like linked to Stadia, right? That's like Stadia's biggest title at launch.
After Doom Eternal slipped, yeah.
Yeah, after Doom Eternal slipped. And they had like a whole bundled in...
right. If you had Stadia Pro, right, yeah, you got, or whatever it was, if you got Founders Edition, you got access to all the stuff for
Destiny. Yeah. And so I want to point that out. But even still, like, that's still like a cool...
Totally.
Cool,
and you have to imagine, like, I don't think that's... I think that's a unique connection because they've already worked so much with them. But I would hazard the guess that if you were a developer looking for solutions and you reached out to Google, Stadia would want to work with you on this too.
Probably, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because obviously Stadia, always looking for goodwill, always looking for inroads in the industry. And again, I think that this could be an interesting solution for that.
I agree.
Number three on the Roper Report. Games Done Quick is taking on COVID. This is a press release from them. Today, Games Done Quick announced that it will be hosting a speed running marathon in efforts to help those in need during the global COVID-19 pandemic. Corona Relief Done Quick will be an online-only event taking place April 17th through the 19th, 2020, on the official Games Done Quick Twitch channel. 100% of all CRDQ donations go directly to Direct Relief, a humanitarian aid organization with a mission to improve the health and lives of people affected by poverty or emergencies. Donations can be made directly during the event via the viewing page available at gamesdonequick.com. Now, in the same release, on top of that, Games Done Quick also announced that it will be postponing Summer Games Done Quick, SGDQ 2020, due to increasing coronavirus concerns. SGDQ 2020 will take place August 16th through the 23rd in 2020 in Bloomington, Minnesota, benefiting Doctors Without Borders. Registration for the event will open June 7th and close July 20th. Games Done Quick is actively monitoring the updates from WHO, CDC, local governments, and public health agencies regarding COVID-19 and continuing to assess the situation. Now, and the same COVID thing, worth noting this, IGN's Jordan Olerman reports, the studio behind The Witcher 3 and Cyberpunk 2077 is donating nearly $1 million to help fight the coronavirus pandemic. The news arrives thanks to a LinkedIn post from CD Projekt Red's co-founder, where he revealed the studio will be donating, quote, a sum of 4 million PLN, which is approximately just about $1 million, to combat the spread of COVID-19 in Poland.
That's so, really cool.
Everyone out here fighting the good fight, bless.
Yeah, everybody is. I absolutely love Games Done Quick. It was really cool to see that they're doing this coronavirus. I was going to say coronavirus version. That sounds weird. But Corona Relief Done Quick. That sounds like a really cool thing. The fact that they're able to pull it together so so quickly.
That's what they do.
Well, it's like, well, it's like they're made for this. Yeah, like good on them. Good on CD Projekt Red also for donating. I find it funny that the news came from a LinkedIn post of all things. You think that like they put it on their blog, but I guess like they're pretty low key about it, which I respect.
I mean, that's what's dope about it, right? Is I do feel like there's this interesting time. You know, I talked about it a little bit yesterday with Ben on Games Daily, where at the end we were talking about, you know, he's like, obviously in this time, you know, for them just starting off, MinMax just starting out, and everybody should go support them, patreon.com/MinMax. But how it is, you know, it feels gross sometimes to like talk, you know, be launching a new show because they hit a Patreon milestone or doing whatever. And so there is this optics to all of this of every one of us, and I don't even mean you, me, Kind of Funny. I don't mean MinMax. I mean every human being right now. If you put up with Kind of Funny stuff, like I say, you're a best friend because you want to have the right kind of conversations. You want to do good. You want to help other people. And so everyone wants to help, but it's so hard in our day and age to help and then say you're helping and not seem like you're just trying to grab limelight, right? Like that's everybody's concern. And so like, yeah, to do this and just put it as a thing here, Halo just put out too. Halo 5, you can go buy a Halo 5 pack right now for something, for in-game stuff, and it'll give all the proceeds to somebody else here. I should have brought that up. Sorry, it broke as we were coming up or whatever. Everybody's out there trying to figure out a way to do this and help, but they also don't want to make it like, look at how good we are. We donated $1 million. You know what I mean? So,
I agree. That's
gotta be. Speaking of Jordan Olerman at IGN.com, number 4 on the Roper Report, he writes, GameStop is set to close more than 300 stores this year. GameStop is set to permanently close 300 more stores in the coming year. The news arrived in an earnings call conducted by the company, which shed light on GameStop's financial situation. It was revealed that the company plans to meet or exceed the number of closures that occurred in the previous year, which saw 321 shops close their doors. The retailer currently has 5,500 operational stores across the U.S.
Oh man, that's rough. That's very rough.
It's that paired with, hey, we're also closing the stores because we have to. We're not an essential retailer, it turns out, after all. Yeah.
I wonder how much of this is accelerated by the quarantine and them having to close their stores in the meantime. Like, I wonder that. Like, and that's the whole thing that we've kind of been talking about with this whole GameStop situation, is that I've been of the mind that the reason why they're so adamant about being open and why they wanted to put themselves as essential business is because if they don't, then this happens. And I don't know if this is like a one-for-one thing. Like, this could have been the thing that was going to happen anyway, regardless. But they're not in a good place right now. Everybody knows that GameStop is on their way out, probably at this point more rapidly than even before.
And that's where I think this has exacerbated the situation, or exacerbated the situation.
Yes.
Let me go a little bit further into Jordan's article, because there is some interesting stuff in here. In the earnings call, the company touched on the huge financial uncertainty caused by the ongoing pandemic, but noted that the COVID crisis has led to a 2% increase in sales in recent months. GameStop turned a profit in the fourth quarter and saw a decrease in its net loss for the full fiscal year, from $673 million to $470.9 million in this year. The earnings calls also mentioned Game Informer, GameStop's media outlet that suffered layoffs in 2019. Rest in peace, Imran Khan, wherever you are now. GameStop plans to build value in the brand, though, quote, interactive digital media. But the retailer didn't go into any further details about those plans.
Interactive digital media.
Yeah.
What does that mean to you?
Trying to go in there and make GameInformer.com. I would say interactive digital media, I think it would be trying to make GameInformer.com articles reflect more what a Game Informer magazine article is. You know what I mean? Where like when make it more active, make it have boxes moving around. Like, I'm just pulling shit out of my ass of what I would do if I was them, right? So GameInformer.com to me shouldn't look like IGN.com. GameInformer.com should look like the magazine, because I still think I'm old, but I think of Game Informer as a magazine, right? So I don't know how to make that exactly look, but I would think, you know, a completely different layout. When I'm scrolling through, I like to see like the cover header image stay up and the text move, or where you'd usually put in like the boxes of little breakout facts or whatever you're trying to, you know, promote or break up with like appetizer features, have those pop up, have those animate up, do something cool like that. But there's no way that's what's going to happen. As no. Game, in the same article as or GameStop is like, we're going to close a million stores or whatever, 500, yeah. 300 stores, right? We're going to close all these stores. Like, I don't think they're at the same time going, we should really invest in Game Informer too. They're like, fucking Game Informer, please keep doing stuff and get selling ads and making money and just be in the black or whatever. Let's try to, you know, solve this.
Yeah.
Also funny, Jordan Olman, if you're watching, in your second to last graph here, you say, another GameSpot news. GameStop move. Mm-hmm. GameStop happens.
Everybody does it.
I know, everybody does.
One of them has to break. Yeah, one of the, I mean.
The staring contest is about to finally end. Somebody's about to blink on this one, I think. Frank Furter writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames and says, good morning, Greg, and blessing. GameStop announced that they will be closing over 300 stores in the coming year due to poor sales again. My question is this, and this is going to make people mad. Why do people want to see GameStop fail? I get the debacle that they had this week, plus however... However, putting that aside, why do people hate GameStop? If you want to say, well, they would only give me a nickel for a certain game, then have fun selling it elsewhere and trying to take advantage of trading deals. GameStop, to me, has been a place where the employees are mostly knowledgeable and love games, just like you and me. I met some great friends there, and some have become my closest friends in life. Sure, the upper management can flub things up, but why are we all rooting and cheering for it to fail? Blessing, why do you hate GameStop?
Oh, man, let me tell you, dude. I went to a GameStop one time, and they sold me Brink and never again. No,
You went in and asked for it. They didn't try to take it from you.
Historically, people have kind of given GameStop shit for, I want to say primarily like the selling your game back stuff, but I'm sure there's other stuff there too. But sure. for all my years patroning GameStop, it's always been a thing of, as far as like how the internet's talked about GameStop and people's attitudes toward GameStop, it was always a thing of like, oh yeah, I'm going to go sell back, I don't know, man, Doom Anything. Eternal 3 days yeah. after buying it. And it's like, all right, here's a nickel. And like you say in your question, was it Frank Furter that's asking this one?
Frank Furter.
You say in your question, like, you know, try and get deals, like better deals for sell back from other places. I have, like, back in the day when I was hustling to try and get money to sell my games, right? The only time I would sell back to GameStop is when they were doing like a deal, and when I was trying to sell back like a bundle of games, and I was too lazy to try and figure out how to sell them on Amazon.
Yeah,
but like there are a bunch of other places that I could go to like get actual like better deals on selling back my games, and so that's always kind of been a thing there, and I think that probably has a bit to do with it. But within recent years, I think more of it has to do with how they treat their employees. I've heard so many people who work at GameStop complain about working at GameStop and talk about how kind of badly GameStop treats their employees. This last couple weeks has been a great example of GameStop not necessarily the best company to their employees. You look at this, you look at them trying to pay themselves as an essential business. You look at them not letting part-time employees gain PTO. You look at the layoffs with Game Informer recently. You look at how they've operated historically, and it has not necessarily been great. That said, I don't necessarily look around and see people rooting for GameStop to die either. Like it's always been a thing of, I think we've had a shared understanding for quite a few years now that GameStop is just on the slow decline towards death, because that's how the market is going. Like we're all shifting towards digital games. We're all shifting toward delivery. We're all shifting toward, like, there are other places where you can buy their games. Best Buy had Gamers Club unlocked, which is gone now. But that was like a big thing for me when I decided to stop buying games at GameStop. It was because Best Buy had their Gamers Club unlocked deal where I could get games for like 20% off new.
And Amazon was doing that too. And then what happened? Bless. Yeah. They saw they had mortally wounded GameStop and they didn't need to do that anymore. So they're like, peace, we don't need to do this. Yeah, I'm with you where, and Frank, I know that obviously you're looking at you have your own lens, you're seeing your own things on Twitter, you're seeing your own things on the internet, probably hearing your own things on different podcasts. I don't know how much of it is rooting for GameStop to fail. I think when you're, in the very specific instance of everything that just happened where I was like calling them ghouls for trying to make people work and say they were essential businesses, that's a different thing. And again, that's on the top of the pyramid. I've said it before and I will say it again. I think one of the coolest opportunities Kinda Funny has afforded me is when we were going to the GameStop Managers Expo and doing their live stream for a while and actually getting to see GameStop as a company. And this is, you know, whatever, years ago, I haven't gone in a couple of years, I think, take care of their employees and fly all the managers to Vegas and put them all up and take them through not classes, but like presentations from developer or from publishers and developers saying, here's what our game is. Here's why it's cool. Actually, in a way, giving them, you know, crash courses so that when people do walk into the store, they get to say, oh yeah, what is Cyberpunk? And like, oh, they know Cyberpunk. They've seen Cyberpunk. They've seen private demos of it. Here's why it's rad. I like that. I think that's awesome. I thought it was awesome to talk to the managers there and have so many of them say like, oh, well, you know, I was working in wherever and I fell in love and I moved and then they transferred my position there. Like so many people had stories there that I talked to that were, no, they have actually taken care of me and they are trying to be better and yada, yada, yada. I can't that was years ago, like I said, but it was an interesting glimpse into what I think the overall thing about people not liking GameStop is an overall glimpse into a giant corporation. A giant monolith of a corporation that seems faceless. And I know that I'm old, but remember the one knock a lot of people have against GameStop is that it did come in and force out the mom and pop shops. It was the thing that in very much of a Walmart sense where they came in and were suddenly taking over and buying up different stores and becoming, you know, I remember when it was that, you know, I remember when Funkoland opened and it was like, oh, this is rad or whatever. But then when the other GameStop opened and then when the EB opened and then I was like, wait, what? And then they are all the same thing. Like, wait a second. They just ran everybody out of town and took over. And so I think there's that wrapped up in it. I think it's just the normal thing of when you are number one, when you are the biggest name in video game retail. And I'm sure Amazon wants to come off the bench or Walmart wants to come off the bench. You know what I mean? In our sphere, when you are the dedicated game store and you are number one, it's easy to dunk on them. I think, you know, as we've seen them try to stave off the digital revolution and become a Funko Pop store and become a store that has all this stuff. People make fun of them for that. They make fun of GameStop TV. It's the normal thing of what Twitter and social media does so poorly is the snide comment you'd make to your friend while shopping at GameStop and buying the thing at GameStop, you're now making out into the world and everybody's making it. It seems like everybody hates it. Like I am the number one. I love digital. Digital games are amazing. That's where I want to be for the rest of my life, right? It was really funny on PS I Love You this week, right? When somebody talked about the Xbox having the disc on the wrong side. And me and Bless were like, what? And then I was like, I went into the room. I talked to Lucy. None of us had an Xbox game on disc. We all have them digital. I was like, huh, interesting time to be alive on that one. However, all that said, when GameStop does close its doors, I will be sad. When I do get dragged to a mall because I hate shopping in person, I always end up in the GameStop. And I just walk around for 20 minutes, 15 minutes, looking at everything, seeing what they're selling, listening to conversations, seeing what's going on there. I will be sad about that. And that's me being as selfish as possible in this conversation. It will be incredibly sad for the thousands of GameStop employees who won't have jobs anymore, who, like you said in this, Frankfurter, are good people. So many of our Kind of Funny best friends are GameStop employees, right? What up, Jamie? Like, there's people out there that we do know that they are out there. We do know that they're in the stores fighting the good fight. Yeah, I talk about my, you know, Columbia, Missouri, where I stayed away from the EB in the mall for like 3 years because of a shitty manager there. Yeah, I've had those conversations, but like, I understand that's few and far between. That's not how it's all going to be. That's not how it's going to be forever. And
not
so,
to,
yeah,
not to mention like Game Informer too. Like that's another thing where once GameStop goes away, Game Informer is probably going away. And I love Game Informer. I've loved Game Informer for a while. And historically, I also have really great GameStop memories. Right, like GameStop is the reason why I played so many weird, just random games because they always had the $5 bin back in the day where I'd go in and like pick out. Like I remember every time I went to the mall when I was like, I'm gonna say like 10 years old, 9, 10, 11 years old, they had like the $5, $10 bin. And every time I'd go there, I'd ask my mom for $10 and I'd get like a random PS2 game out the
bin.
That's awesome. And I ended up playing so many random games. I ended up playing like Seven Samurai, 20XX. There's a game called B-Boy that I loved. MTV Music Generator 2. Like,
wow.
That's all due to freaking to GameStop.
And that's going in like, you know, in a lot of ways, I like to think that, you know, what we do in the conversations we have in Kind of Funny Games are the evolution of that, where it is that what you'd want to see of like, I remember walking into Funko Land as a, you know, riding my bike there and just hanging out for hours in there, having conversations, probably bugging the shit out of the clerks, but having conversations in there while other people are asking about games, you have conversations with them. Like that's what the internet's good at, but it's not, it'll never be the same as walking in and just like what it, I mean, like in a lot of ways, right? Like GameStop is the last vestige of what it used to be like to go to Blockbuster. Like to walk the aisles and pick up the cases and look at the back and put it back down. Cause even at, like when you go to Target or Walmart, they're behind glass. So you can't even touch them. You can't feel them. You can't look and see all the different bells and whistles and stuff. Like, it will be sad. And and I don't think some people sure are probably, yeah, fuck them, cheer them, you know what I mean? But like, there is a lot to it. That's, as usual, just the surface level of, yeah, they didn't pay you enough for your trade in one time. Not thinking about the thousands of jobs, thousands of good people, the thousands of good memories. Yeah, I have great memories from GameStop.
Yeah, like all the times you went to GameStop and you just hung out and just looked at stuff.
Yeah, exactly right. Didn't buy anything, just had a good time and left.
Just had a good time.
Let's get some quick hits in here to close out the Roper Report. Number 5, Warface has hit 1 million players on Switch. One month after its official launch on Nintendo Switch, Warface has reached 1 million registered players on the platform, publisher My Games announced today. To celebrate this, developer Alods team has revealed some in-game statistics. Players have completed 495,387 PvP matches. Total playtime for Warface on Switch is over 83,000 days. The most popular modes on Switch are PvE missions, 1.2 million played, and co-op special operations, 148,000 completed. Warface on Nintendo Switch has full content and feature parity with Xbox One and PlayStation 4 versions, with a content rotation system opening up new PvE co-op missions every week. The development team plans to simultaneously release the next big release on all three platforms. Their franchise lead says, the key strategy with the Nintendo Switch version is to keep things fresh, and that means constant updates. We are already hard at work on the next big console update, which will simultaneously launch on Switch, Xbox One, and PS4 this summer.
Go get him.
Warface. If I showed you...
Could you tell me anything?
I was going to say, if I showed you screenshots of multiple games, you think you could figure out which one Warface is?
Oh, probably not. Depending on the game. Are we going to do this, Kevin?
No, I don't even have the tech for that. We're also late in the show. There's no real reason to. But I saw it and I was just like, Warface, what the fuck?
I'm going
to
guess.
Hold on,
it's a first-person shooter, right? I'm going to say it's a sci-fi.
Oh, it's
definitely
got to be a first-person shooter, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they might have said that in the story, and I might just not have realized that.
This is Warface. Kevin's throwing up Warface. I would not have guessed this. I would have guessed. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking of Warframe, which I do know what it looks like. So I would have been like, oh, it's going to look like that.
Because in my head, I was like sci-fi, but I was like, am I saying that because I know, or am I saying that because Warframe?
I'm looking at Warface on my Nintendo Switch here, too, which I have in the little monitor. Oh, now, oh, fuck, dude. The key art. Yeah, click on the key art, Kevin. It's the third one in that top row there. You got a fucking Terminator. Look at that.
Oh, shit.
Got a Terminator ready to go fuck some shit up here.
You think he's a friend?
Yeah, probably.
Nice. Are you
fighting on Mars? You're fighting in...
Mars? Get the fuck out. Something? I love
That's
Mars.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, here we go. Right. That is sci-fi.
Warface is an online first-person shooter like no other. Battle across 50-plus multiplayer PvP maps, tackle tough PvE raids and co-op, and unleash a vast arsenal of 200-plus realistic customizable weapons. Join over 80 million players worldwide and play for free now. Experience the multiple thrilling PvP game modes. Fight for glory across all 50... Yeah, we already said that part. Interesting. Wow. It's the usual thing, right? Of like, oh man, never heard of this game. 1 million on Switch, 80 million worldwide. Well, fuck me, gaming is too big now.
I mean, do we want to try Warface? Do we want to play some games?
Do you want to play The Division? Because I'd rather you play The Division with me. How about some Borderlands? Meet me in the middle. Let me drag you through some Borderlands.
Every time I play Borderlands, I fall asleep. I don't know why. I don't know what it is about Borderlands.
Let's play Borderlands together. Me and you, no one else. Just
me. What, Kevin?
Oh, no, yeah, Greg can come too. Yeah, sure, Greg. Is Joey still?
Kevin, we don't have anything going on till what? Like 3 o'clock.
Us three and Joey? I could be down for us three and Joey.
Yeah, maybe we cut Greg. Maybe we cut Greg. We put Andy in. You know what I mean?
That sounds awesome. Andy's great.
Andy wants to play on PC. First off, I'm better than him. All right. We all saw the Fortnite. I digress. Number six. Michael Denny is leaving PlayStation, which is shocking to me, and then he's heading to TT Games, which is great for me. This is Hayden Taylor over at GamesIndustry.biz. Former Sony executive Michael Denny has been appointed the vice president and head of studio at TT Games. Previously, Denny oversaw internal studios such as Guerrilla Games, Media Molecule, and Sony London Studio as senior vice president of Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios Europe. He also oversaw external developers working on exclusive third-party games. Now, after 25 years with Sony, Denny will take over strategy, execution, and business operations of TT Games and its portfolio of titles, including the LEGO franchise. In a statement, TT Games said Denny will report to Playdemic studio head Paul George to introduce a new vision for the company. Bless.
Yeah.
This is another one. I mean, that's what we're just talking about with Shannon leaving, right? We've covered all these other people leaving PlayStation.
What is happening?
25 years, Michael Denny at PlayStation, now going over to TT Games.
Do you take this as just another, like, he's had his time, he sees new opportunity, he's going to take it, or do you think Sony is on fire?
Sony is rotten from the core. I think it's definitely, I think there's a lot of new blood at PlayStation, and I think that when you look around and see that, you've been there for 20 years, not to mention we've talked before about, like, you know, it was a big deal when PlayStation officially moved their headquarters to San Mateo, right, San Francisco Bay Area, and away from Japan, and started kind of centralizing power over here. Now, granted, Jim Ryan's over in Europe, he's doing it too, but we saw, like, them close down their PR and marketing over there. We saw a whole bunch of different things shake out that way. When you look at this, right, of, like, Denny's word salad title, right, of, like,
yeah,
he was the senior vice president of Sony Interactive Entertainment Worldwide Studios Europe, right? Like, well, now Herman, who's also in Europe, right, he's the head of Sony Worldwide Studios. So you have Herman promoted above you, which I don't know if you would take as an insult. I guess you probably would, right? But he's there, he's got new ideas, he's got new stuff. You've been there for 25 years, you see a bunch of your colleagues starting to shift off the platform. You're seeing, you know, whatever their vision is for PlayStation 5 take shape, and maybe not that it's not what you want to do, but maybe that's just not, you're not in for that, you know, huge part of a ride or whatever.
It might be like just a good transitional time, right? Yeah. Like the start of something new, and you're like, okay, well, you know, this is my time to let the next crew of SVPs at PlayStation.
And now he's going to TT Games, work on my Lego games. You know what I mean? Yeah. Come on. Him and Arthur Parsons over there busting skulls. Let's see what happens.
Do you think we'll ever get a Lego Dimensions 2?
Fuck no. Well, yeah, you know, you got seasonal content for it, right? Yeah, you got a big expansion. Yeah. No, you'll never get it. Sad days. I miss Lego Dimensions.
I never played it, but I always wanted to.
You're a coward. God, I hate you. This is why I died. You know what I mean? You can't support it. Couldn't get it. That's your problem. Shout out to Michael Denny, though, because he was one of the people, if you've ever heard the story of when Colin and Clements went to dinner with Shuhei that first time ever, and we showed up, and it was all the heads of Sony Worldwide Studios and stuff, like from all the studios in the world. Michael Denny was there. He was a good dude.
Oh,
you had to hang out and drink with him. But enough about that. Instead, let me tell you about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. You can go there, ask your questions, be part of the show, and squad up. But you can also get the show there ad-free with the big post show we'll do in a second. Ad-free. And speaking of ads, Gregway, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Quip. Quip, makers of the electric Quip toothbrush, want you to know that there's one simple discovery that matters to your oral health. It's simply this: if you have good habits, you're good to go. That means brushing for 2 minutes twice a day and flossing regularly. No matter what brand you use, Quip makes that simple, starting with an electric toothbrush, refillable floss, and anti-cavity toothpaste. Quip's electric brush has sensitive sonic vibrations with a built-in timer and 30-second pulses to guide for a full and even clean. This is why we all love it. Nick and I were just talking about this the other day, literally, not a joke, that we love our Quips, we use our Quips, and when we started using them, we realized we had not been brushing for 2 minutes, and now our teeth are better than ever. The Quip floss dispenser comes with pre-marked string to help you use just enough. Plus, Quip delivers fresh brush heads, floss, and toothpaste refills to your door every 3 months with free shipping, so your routine is always right. Join over 3 million happy, healthy mouths and get Quip today starting at $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you'll get your first refill for free. That's your first refill free at getquip.com/games. Spell it out, GETQUIP.com/games. Quip, the good habits company. Now, our next sponsor, it's ExpressVPN. You want to hear some insider information? So we all know how ExpressVPN protects your privacy and security online, but here's something you might not know. You can also use ExpressVPN to unlock movies and shows that are only available in other countries. Now that so many of us are stuck at home, it's only a matter of time until we run out of things to watch on Netflix. So a whole bunch of our friends this week have been using ExpressVPN to binge shows like Doctor Who on UK Netflix and others. It's simple to do. Just fire up the ExpressVPN app, change your location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and that's it. ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located. You can choose from almost 100 different countries, so just think about all the Netflix libraries you can go through. You love anime? Use ExpressVPN to access Japanese Netflix and be spirited away. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC, iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. There are hundreds of VPNs out there, but the reason you should use ExpressVPN to watch shows is that it is ridiculously fast. There's never any buffering or lag. You can stream in HD no problem. ExpressVPN is also compatible with all your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more. So you can watch what you want, where you want it, when you want it, wherever you are. If you visit our link right now, expressvpn.com/games, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the show, watch what you want, and protect yourself with ExpressVPN at expressvpn.com/games. Blessing.
Yep.
I'm excited to see what Michael Denny does at TT Games, but
I am too.
His future is so far away. I wanted something more present, like say what came to the mom and grop shops today, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Giantosaurus, the game, comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC, and Switch. Saints Row 4, Reelected, comes to Switch. Children of Zodiarcs comes to Xbox One and Switch. Oh. Lost Worlds Beyond the Page comes to Stadia. That one got you? Oh.
Yeah, Zodiarcs.
Oh, Zodiarcs. One Piece Pirate Warriors 4 comes to PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Bears Can't Drift comes to Xbox One. Railway Empire comes to Switch. Inops comes to Xbox One. Biped comes to PC. Duck Souls Plus comes to PlayStation 4 and Switch. Repressed comes to Switch. Copper Bell comes to Switch. Six People comes to PC and Mac. Gordian Quest comes to PC. Mayhem Masters comes to PC. Deranged comes to PC. Arcade comes, but like comes to PC and Mac. Night Out comes to PC. Disney, oh, I already got that one in there. Creature in the Well comes to PlayStation 4. New dates for you. My friend Pedro is making the jump to PlayStation 4 on April 2nd. And then Steve Watts at GameSpot reports that the Resident Evil Resistance demo has been delayed on PC and PS4. Resident Evil 3 Remake is coming with an asynchronous multiplayer mode, Resident Evil Resistance. A final open beta was planned for this week before the new game, before next week's full launch, but the beta has been delayed on Steam and PS4 due to apparent issues. The open beta was planned to go live on all three platforms, PC, PS4, and Xbox One, as of Thursday evening in North America. The Xbox One version is currently up and running, but the Steam and PS4 versions are missing in action. An announcement posted to the Japanese site says the test is being postponed on Steam and PS4 due to an unspecified problem. And then IGN reports developer Digital Extremes Warframe is coming to PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X, according to an annual results announcement from parent company Liu. So another one, Bless, put it on the board.
Another one.
You know what I mean?
I know
what
exactly
is this? What is this? What am I looking at, Kev?
This is that arcade game that you're talking about.
Arcade.
Yeah.
Huh.
It's kind of cool.
Is this the gameplay or is this the trailer?
This is the gameplay.
Okay. So you're spinning stuff, trying to match up
like symbols,
characters.
It's freaking me out, man.
It's like a Rosetta Stone.
It's like a match puzzle game, but like
what the hell? I don't understand.
I know this looks like it's for like advanced brains. It's like a match puzzle game, but like on another level. I like it.
You gonna play it?
No, I'm not.
Hell no, you're not gonna play
like
it.
It'll break me.
You coward. That's what I'm saying over there.
I am a coward.
No, you're a nice boy and we like you a lot. Don't worry about
thank
it.
Thank you.
Blessing, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. We have a different kind of one today. It's from DCash14. That's the letter D-C-A. SH14, all one word. Hey guys, I have a special squad up request for today. I am an emergency physician and longtime KFBF. I want to thank you now more than ever for being there for me as my job becomes scarier by the day. As I commute to and from work, joining you all every day to discuss Animal Crossing, Doom Eternal, etc., has allowed me to mentally escape from the incredible stress of the ER to the joy of my favorite hobby. I also appreciate the sacrifices the Kind of Funny team has made for all the best friends to stay home so that we can safely do our job. This effort is making a big difference and will save many lives. I have one huge request for all of the best friends. As many of you know, hospitals are running short on masks, gloves, gowns, and other PPE that keeps the nurses, paramedics, doctors, custodial staff, and many others safe during this crisis. My hospital currently has 3 days of masks left, and we are facing the real possibility of needing to reuse contaminated masks or even homemade masks and bandanas. If you have access to N95s, surgical masks, gloves, gowns, or any other equipment, please consider donating it. You can DM me on Twitter or Reddit at dcash14 if you want to donate to my hospital, or just contact your local ER to see how to donate. Love you all, and please stay safe, everyone. DCash14.
Hit them up.
Do it. Yeah. Of course, if you have any of this stuff and you can help out, please help out either your local ER or, yeah, Dcash14. Obviously, you don't need it. Or I shouldn't say that. You probably don't need it in your house. I don't know what your current situation is. I shouldn't project like that. But yeah,
if you have the means,
help out whoever you can right now. We're all in this together. Don't forget. Blessing.
Yes.
It's time for You're Wrong. This is where people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up. It's not or you're wrong, but breaking from nanobiologists, he says Riot Games and co-founders have donated $1.5 million to Corona Relief and gives me a Polygon link. You can go over there and check it out. Here, this is an explanation from Zaxxon. The Halo 5 is adding an REQ pack where the proceeds go to coronavirus relief. You can find that on Halo's Twitter. We talked about this before. They say missed release date, but it is worth pointing out because I do want to play it a lot this weekend. Predator Hunting Grounds has a free trial this week on PlayStation, or weekend, I'm sorry, on PlayStation Plus. It's live right now, which is supposed to be later in the afternoon, so it's cool that it's out now. We had given the date a long time ago, but it is today. It is only this weekend. I am going to play because I am a big fan of Illphonic, of course. Blessing, you won't play, I'm sure, because you're a coward.
Exactly.
Son of a bitch. Barrett. Kevin, you want to play? You want to play some Predators this weekend?
I got to get my PlayStation 4 and set it all up. I'm going to try because Blessing and I are probably going to play Borderlands. So
Borderlands?
Yeah, you guys.
Yeah.
Kevin, who do you play as in Borderlands?
Flack.
Good call.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I don't play as Flack, so that works.
Well, I mean, you can have 4 Flacks
if
you want.
Yeah, it's actually better because then they got all the dogs.
It's like stylish though. If you like have different characters,
God bless you, so weird.
Or, like, should we invite Fran? He plays as someone that no one plays.
You're not gonna play. It
oh
on PC.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna play it on PC. He plays on PC.
And they don't do crossplay.
No.
Huh.
We can just get Andy and Joy.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Remember, each and every week, down a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. Let's run you through who will be hosting next week, ladies and gentlemen. Monday, the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee, returns to the show. To host with me for the first time since she abandoned us. Tuesday, it'll be me and Imran. Wednesday, it'll be me and Gary Whitta. Thursday, it's going to be Blessing and Tim. Friday, me and Bless. There's going to be another Gamescast review on Monday. We can't tell you what for. So there you go. If you want to keep your Gamescast up to date. Remember, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the globe. Watch live, twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where you can get on the show, you can get the show ad-free, and you can get the post-show we are about to do. Blessing, any final words of wisdom for these people before we say goodbye?
Stay home. Don't go places. Just stay home. Just do it.
That's well said, Blessing.
Just a few weeks. Or months. Depending
on maybe the rest of your life. We're not sure yet, but you're safe at home. You can play Predators this weekend.
If you listen, it'll only be a few weeks. If you don't listen, then we'll be here for a while.
Forever, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a post show to do, but until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.
Oh.
No, Blessing, the other way.
See, I'm looking at the confidence monitor. There we go. Yeah, it's working. All right.
Yeah.